This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Monday, May 10th. I'm Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. As state legislatures across the country take up bills that could make casting a ballot more difficult, voting rights groups are mobilizing to call for federal protective measures. We'll go to one such rally that took place in Denver over the weekend. A drive-through clinic in Lafayette aims to make it easier to get the COVID vaccine. Signature gathering on a petition was underway this weekend by the group Save South Boulder over the annexation of CU South. More coming up. Finally, Miriam Schiff shares a preview of this afternoon's Metro show airing at 3 p.m. The topic is opioids. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the latest Jim Hightower commentary just after the BBC headlines. And then it's a public affair. Today's show is about efforts to remove police known as school resource officers from schools in and around Fort Collins. As always, on Monday morning, it's Counterspin at 9 a.m., a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. But first, a look at headlines with KGNU's Jamie Sudler.
Colorado suffered another mass shooting over the weekend. A gunman in Colorado Springs walked into a birthday party early Sunday morning and killed six people before taking his own life. A person who was at the party but left before the shooting told the Denver Post that all the victims were members of the same extended family. Investigators believe the shooter was the boyfriend of a woman at the party. None of the children there were hurt. The mass shooting comes just 7 weeks after a gunman killed 10 people at a King Soopers grocery store in Boulder. Democratic leaders in the legislature had planned to attempt to pass a bill this session that would impose a waiting period before a gun could be purchased, but now that effort will have to wait until next year. State Representative Steve Woodrow, a Democrat from Denver, told the Colorado Sun that after the massacre at the Boulder King Soopers, they decided to focus on other policies. Lawmakers were debating implementing a waiting period for 3 to 5 days before deciding to shelve the bill. The waiting period policy was aimed mainly at preventing suicides by making it impossible for a person to buy a gun and take their life in a matter of minutes or hours. The suspect in the Boulder shooting purchased a weapon 6 days before the attack. The legislative session will still be one of the most significant on gun control measures. Governor Jared Polis has already signed into law a bill requiring that guns in homes with children or with people prohibited from accessing firearms be stored in a safe or with a lock. Additionally, another measure requires gun owners to report lost or stolen weapons within 5 days after realizing they're missing. And among bills still pending at the General Assembly is a measure which would allow local governments to enact gun control policies that are more stringent than state laws, and another to require gun dealers to complete background checks on a buyer before transferring a weapon to them. Political leaders in the Boulder area are supporting a bill in the legislature that would raise over $5 billion to fund transportation projects in the area and across the state. The Daily Camera reports that Senate Bill 260 would help fund a number of projects that directly benefit Boulder County, including safety and mobility improvements, bus service along the Diagonal Highway, and an interchange mobility hub on Colorado 7. Colorado Senate Majority Leader Steve Fenberg, a Democrat from Boulder and a primary sponsor of the bill, said the effort is years in the making. He added that we are all paying for the lack of investment in infrastructure, whether from sitting in traffic, lost time with our families, or wear and tear on our roads. If approved, the measure would raise some of the funding through fees such as road usage charge, an electric vehicle fee, and personal car sharing and rental fees. Others have given support to the bill, including Boulder Mayor Sam Weaver, Chamber President John Tayer, Broomfield Council Member Devin Schaff, and County Commissioner Claire Levy. A woman who used to work at an Amazon warehouse in Thornton has filed a whistleblower complaint against the company, saying that she was fired for raising concerns about Amazon's COVID-19 policies and practices. The Associated Press reports that Linda Rodriguez filed her complaint with the State Division of Labor and Employment because Amazon put warehouse workers at risk. She says that the information about the virus was provided only in English, but many employees speak only Spanish. And she said they felt extraordinary pressure to continue coming to work every day, even if sick. In response to the complaint, an Amazon spokesperson said that Rodriguez was fired for speaking publicly, but for time card fraud and time theft. U.S. Representative Joe Neguse was in the Boulder area over the weekend. Neguse, who is from Lafayette, visited the Table Mesa Shopping Center to talk with business owners about the challenges they face after the pandemic and the mass shooting at the King Soopers store in March. The Daily Camera reports that the representative also visited Jamestown, where he promoted the creation of the 21st Century Conservation Corps that would create thousands of jobs and invest billions of dollars in forest restoration, watershed mitigation, and wildfire resiliency. The idea behind the Corps is to recreate something similar to Franklin Roosevelt's 1930s programs, which built Red Rocks Amphitheater, roads, trails, and campgrounds in Rocky Mountain National Park. Neguse said the idea has gained a lot of momentum, culminating in President Joe Biden including it in his American Jobs Act proposal. Bruce Randolph Jr., who owned Daddy Bruce's Barbecue in Boulder for 30 years, has died. He was 94. The Daily Camera reports that Randolph bought a restaurant on the corner of Arapaho Avenue and 20th Street in 1980 and renamed it in honor of his father, the late Bruce Randolph. Randolph Jr. ran the establishment until he retired 10 years ago. He was a fixture at the restaurant, telling stories, giving advice, and playing the piano. In today's weather, it will be rainy with a high of about 45. Tonight, snow showers are likely continuing into tomorrow when the high will be about 42. Wednesday will be mostly sunny. Right now, it's about 39 along the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. As bills that can make casting a ballot more difficult wind their way through state legislatures around the country, voting rights groups are mobilizing to call for federal measures to protect the right to vote. The Transformative Justice Collective of Denver celebrated John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Day Saturday. It started with a motorcade around the Capitol, then looped back to Denver's Five Points neighborhood. There, speakers from the State House, the Mayor's Office, and the Colorado chapter of the League of Women Voters voiced their support for bills currently before Congress. One is the For the People Act of 2021. Another is the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. And a third is the Washington, D.C. Admission Act. KGNU's Verity Matthews was there and shares some of the sounds she gathered, starting with a speech by Beth Hendricks, executive director of the Colorado League of Women Voters.
Florida, Texas, Montana, Iowa, and of course Georgia have enacted laws making it more difficult to vote by adding ID requirements and restrictions on mail-in voting, among other things. Here in Colorado, we have the gold standard of voting systems and election security, and the League of Women Voters and all of our partners will fight to maintain that gold standard that makes it easy and safe to make your voice heard. The For the People Act will bring all American elections closer to that gold standard by making nationally permanent some of the conveniences enjoyed by Coloradans, voting by mail or secure drop box. Same day and automatic voter registration, early voting. It will eliminate partisan gerrymandering and improve transparency in campaign finance. All of America deserves Colorado's gold standard. Shelby versus Holder has stood for too long. It's time to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act and restore the VRA to its full glory.
I'm State Representative Leslie Harrod. I met John Lewis right here in House District 8. He worked me to the bone. This man wanted to go to every single church and every single canvas and knock so many doors so that folks like us could have access to the ballot. And right now we are talking about the importance of the vote. So in talking to my good friend, Congressman Joe Neguse, we got to work many years ago to fight to ensure that Colorado has access to the ballot. We have to be vigilant and we have to continue to watch out so that our voting rights don't get rolled back. We have a duty to make sure that folks are protected in other states too. And what's happening in Georgia and in Florida and in places across this country is not okay. John Lewis is sitting there watching from above and seeing his own state think about rolling back the things that he fought for. Not going to happen. Not on our watch. That's why it's important that we show up here today and that we're showing up across the country to say that our vote matters, that our democracy is based on our participation, and we need to do everything that we can to make sure that everyone can participate. All we're asking for is free and open elections, the bedrock of this democracy. Thank y'all so much for having me. I look forward to continuing the fight for you. Just know that I will never rest, just like I know y'all will not stop fighting either. Anytime we see inequities, anytime we see injustice, we must step up to honor John Lewis and do something about it. So thanks so much for having me.
Good afternoon. My name is Gloria Neal, and I am the Director of Public Affairs for Mayor Hancock. I want to take the moment to tell you about my meeting with John Lewis. He was the definition of good trouble, and I am so thankful that I was ever able to meet this man, because what we are seeing happen across this country is not anything that we can sit back and rest and say, you know what, that's happening in that state. Because all you have to do is blink, and it could easily be here. I wish there were more people in attendance today, because voting is where it all starts, and in many ways, it's where it all ends.
That was Gloria Neal of the Denver Mayor's Office. Before her was State Representative Leslie Herod, and at the top of that segment was Beth Hendricks of the Colorado League of Women Voters. They were speaking at a Saturday rally for voting rights in Denver. You are listening to KGNU's Morning Magazine. More than 200 people from underrepresented and socioeconomically disadvantaged groups were able to get their first dose of the Moderna vaccine Sunday at a pop-up vaccine equity drive-through clinic in Lafayette. This drive-through clinic was part of a partnership between community-based organizations such as the Latino Chamber of Boulder County, Suma Latina, Boko Suma Boulder County, Servicios de la Raza, Colorado Vaccine Equity Task Force, Salva Más, and Ventanilla de Salud. KGNU's Rosana Longo dropped by the clinic and spoke with Marta Loachamin, the first Latina elected to Boulder's Board of County Commissioners.
I have with me Marta Loachamin, and we are here at this equity clinic, and it's a pleasure to have you, and I want to know, what are your thoughts about this, and why is this essential for our community?
Thank you. So a couple of pieces. We have, you know, public health is working on vaccine clinics, and the need is greater than just one agency. These community partnerships are so, so important. We spent time the last few weeks with a group of community partners, volunteers, me just as a community person, calling, looking for folks who don't have access to health insurance, who don't have a primary care physician. There are a lot of us out in our community in Boulder County who don't have that, really what is a level of privilege and experience. And we have to recognize that it's not just our folks who are facing disabilities who haven't been able to get out. It's our aging population who maybe has been misinformed. It's our different multiracial, multi-ethnic communities who, again, don't necessarily have those same longstanding partnerships with health clinics, health providers, etc. So the need is greater and wider than what we're really believing. And there's this misinterpretation of we have a lot of vaccines out and we are so far away from herd immunity that these vaccine clinics are still critical and still important with people that community members know and trust.
Marta, why is this model effective for our Latinx community, Latino community?
So we actually opened this one up for our Latinx community, our Latino community, but also really we're working with our Asian community members as well. J.D. Mangat called me and said, hey, how can we help our community in a way like you just said, Rosana, that is personal, that is trusted, that has relationships? And so we're really looking at who else are we missing, our Black neighbors, our Indigenous neighbors, who, again, may not have that same relationship or longstanding primary care physician relationships.
Why is it so essential for us to be here, us, cultural brokers, people from the community, to be here to provide this service?
There's the conversation and the initial reaction. Representation is important in these situations as well. What does that mean? It means when I walk up or drive up or I come in and I see somebody who looks like me, who can speak to me, who can answer my questions in that other language, with that other understanding, with that other experience, it relieves the tension and the fear that we feel, especially when we talk about medical services. People have so many different questions about the vaccine, about the process, about the effects, about how it affects our young people and our aging adults, et cetera. So to be able to have those relationships and that real feeling of what we call familia is so, so important and critical when we talk about health decisions.
What's at stake if we don't get our community vaccinated, especially because we are essential workers?
There's so many different pieces here. One is the reality that, as we're seeing with some of the studies, scientific studies that are coming out now, the effects on our young people are so serious. The neurological effects that are now being seen as side effects of COVID. That's one of the pieces. The other piece is the fact that we have jobs and work and economic recovery that we all need to be able to participate in. And our community, from the Latino community, we've been ahead of that, working on that, from entrepreneurial reactions to losing jobs. And we have to be able to do that safely now and moving forward. And that's why the vaccine clinic is so critical.
So critical. Thank you so much. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo.
KGNU Board of Directors reminds listeners that all our board meetings are open to the public. The KGNU Board of Directors meets at 6 p.m. on the second Monday of every month. We also have a Community Advisory Board that meets twice a year. All meeting dates, times, and locations are posted in advance on our website, kgnu.org. You can also get more information on KGNU board meetings by calling 303-449-4885 during business hours, or by sending an email to board@kgnu.org.
Clipboards in hand, members of the group Save South Boulder fanned out across the city over the weekend, collecting petition signatures for a ballot measure that would let voters have a final say about a parcel of land set to be annexed by the city of Boulder. KGNU's Roz Brown caught up with the group and has the story.
For starters, just let me say that I think even people that are pretty well informed are having a very difficult time following this issue.
That's Harlan Savage, a co-leader of the volunteer group Save South Boulder.
And we are out collecting petition signatures to try to get a measure on the ballot. It's called Let Boulder Voters Decide on the Annexation of CU South. It's going to have a dramatic impact on the town of Boulder and the entire community. And I think it's going to be for the worse, not the better.
An annexation might seem pretty straightforward, but in this case, it's anything but. The proposed CU campus would be located at the south entrance to the city on US 36, currently open space. The city needs a portion of the property owned by CU for 25 years for flood mitigation to prevent the type of severe property damage that occurred during the 2013 flood. The university will give the city the property it needs, but only with major conditions, including providing the future campus with water and sewer utilities. Savage believes the annexation should not come at the expense of existing and well-used open space.
CU, at the moment, would like to build 500,000 square feet of educational buildings at the site, along with housing for somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 people in multiplex units. They would also like to build permanent sports facilities with bleachers, concession stands, parking, bathrooms, etc. And they have said that they will not build anything the size of the football field at CU, but it might be roughly the size of Pottsfield, which holds about 3,000 people. We think that's way too much development in a space that is an important piece of the South Boulder Creek floodplain that has imperiled species, that contains wetlands, that contains state natural areas, that contains the last tall grass, prairie, and wet meadow habitat in Colorado and beyond. It's also a really important place for the community to come together. There are so many people that are out there every day with their kids, with their dogs, on their bikes. There are people that just go out to watch the sunset over the mountains. And these things are, the value of these things are incalculable.
Outside the Whole Foods in South Boulder, Stephen Fry agreed to sign the petition.
I signed it because I think CU has enough buildings already, and I also think that the land that's over there has kind of naturally seen some great use of the residents of Boulder for walking, taking their dogs, etc. I don't want to lose any more of that land. It just seems like we're losing more land to buildings and not really thinking about what's going on.
Wearing a well-loved Boulder Boulder t-shirt from a few years ago, a runner named David also made his way to the table to add his name to the petition.
I'm with KGNU Radio. Do you mind if I ask you why you were willing to sign it?
Well, I actually spent a lot of time going around that area on the South Campus. I actually run there. And I know it is a special natural area. And it would be nice to keep it that way. I'm sympathetic to the university, too, but I know it seems like the right thing to do to try and preserve that area. It's very nice.
The annexation would be the largest of its kind to occur in Boulder that does not include a site plan. While CU would develop 130 of the 300 acres there, it doesn't plan to build anything for several years and therefore can't commit to exactly what would be there. Savage says most people interested in signing the petition are not aware of that.
And I don't think that everyone realizes that, in effect, the city would be giving CU carte blanche to basically do whatever they want. I mean, it is just unheard of for an annexation of this magnitude to move forward without a site plan. And the city is relying way too much on CU to do the right thing for the city, for our community.
What do you say to the folks who are in the floodplain, who say, well, we live in Fraser Meadows and we lost property, we could have lost our lives, we could have lost our homes. You're going to prevent, if this passes, if the voters would say, no, we don't agree with this, we don't want this annexation, then what happens to any kind of mitigation effort?
So from the beginning, we have been saying that flood mitigation comes first, and we have been asking the city to decouple the decision about annexation with the decision about flood mitigation. There's absolutely no reason why CU can't allow the city to come in, build its flood mitigation system to protect those residents, and then talk about annexation. It's very clear to me that people do not seem to trust the university with this decision.
After signing his name to the petition, Alex shared his thoughts with KGNU.
Can I ask you a couple questions now that you've signed it? I'm with KGNU Radio.
Okay.
It sounds like you knew a little bit, and now you know a lot more.
Yep.
What does that make you feel?
I feel sad. This feels unfair. Like people are paying for something that they don't necessarily have access to and have benefit from. So, yeah, it seems like what's the right word? A jam up. Like sleight of hand. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sad and angry.
The group has until June 4th to collect 3,336 signatures to make the November ballot that would ultimately let Boulder voters decide on annexation of CU South. For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
On today's Metro Show at 3 p.m., host Miriam Schiff interviews Dr. Don Stater, founder and president at Stater Opioid Consultants. Stater talks about why he founded the Colorado Naloxone Project and its importance.
I think the catalyst was my experience as an emergency physician, seeing the ravages of the opioid crisis and epidemic, having to tell parents that their young children had sometimes overdosed and sometimes died, and knowing that we could do so much more. to reverse death, to address the crisis, to treat patients with opioid use disorder. And this, the Colorado Naloxone Project, was one of the most common sense interventions that I could think of where, you know, and the project, the whole basis is when in the emergency department and in the hospital, we recognize someone is at risk for overdose, we should send them home with the antidote for an overdose in hand.
Tune in to learn more at 3 p.m. today on KGNU's Metro Show with Miriam Schiff. And that does it for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. A reminder that if you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, call us at 303-447-9911. That's 303-447-9911. We play back the messages on Tuesday mornings at 8:25 during the Morning Magazine.